Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is our news headline show. We took last week off. Again, I've been traveling a lot over the month of March, and that is now, that section of travel is done with. And now we've got Celebration Orlando coming up next week, so that we're almost out of the woods, and then we're all going to be home, and we're all going to be happy and content and able to maintain a regular release schedule. And actually, we're going to be miserable because we won't have anything else to look forward to.
Hey, at least, Eric, this is fun travel for you and not work travel.
That's true. Hey, listen, you know, seriously, the work travel was actually fun. It was just exhausting. But it was very fun. So, you know, I can't complain about it. But yeah, it's when it's, you know, one airport to another airport to another airport to another airport, you lose track of days and time zones and every aspect of logistics about your life. And
yes, you do.
Yeah, Lou, you can attest to that. I'm very happy to be able to get back on a consistent schedule, I think, especially with the podcasts. So, yeah, let's talk just a tiny bit about Celebration real quick. By the way, I'm Eric. Hi. I'm joined tonight, as always, by Chris and by Lou. Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. We're a week out from Celebration, so if I'm not good, then I must be insane.
Yeah, well, or you could be both.
Yeah.
One does not preclude the other. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Much for the same reason Chris just said.
I am in a constant state of panic. I'm going to forget something that I need for the convention. I'm going to find out the day before the convention that I need something that I have to order from Amazon and it won't get here in time. I've got a litany of things that are stressing me out, and probably almost none of them actual real things and none of them relevant. I think that we have less that we're responsible for this time around. We can actually enjoy the convention a little bit more than we could in Anaheim. And there are fewer panels, I think, that are really critical panels to cover. And I think that maybe that's part of what's stressing me out. There's less to stress out about, and so that's stressful.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I feel like I should have more going on, and I don't, so I must be missing something. Right?
No. Just relax. Sit back. Enjoy the ride.
By the way, Tim, if you're listening, it looks like John Morton, who played Dak in Empire Strikes Back, is not going to be at the convention. I'm sorry.
Oh. So,
there's a whole story as to why that's relevant. He and Tim, and now myself to some extent, work in the same industry. It has nothing to do with Star Wars. And Morton actually wrote a book that is considered like a must-read reference guide to emergency preparedness and stuff like that. And so Tim was really looking forward to getting a chance to hang out with him for a while. And my understanding is he would have agreed to it probably, except he's not going to be there. So so Celebration, it's going to affect our release schedule a little bit. I don't know what we're doing for Random Chatter next week. This is going to be the week of the 10th, April 10th through the end of that week. We will be returning the following week. We will be resuming our live shows. But I would say next week, especially late in the week, you can expect a plethora of Star Wars coverage. But without further ado, let's move into this week's headlines. Lots of little things. We're going to go through the lightning round, and then we're going to go back and pick apart stuff we want to cover in the episode here. So first off, the It trailer, based on the novel by Stephen King, sets a new record with 197 million views in the first 24 hours. 197 million. And it hit 246 million within the following 12 hours, and within the first 36 hours. That is insane.
That's nuts.
Now, we're hoping that, you know, next week the Star Wars trailer will knock that out of the park. But yeah, almost 200 million views in the first 24 hours is insane. Hasbro's confirmed that they are doing a G.I. Joe reboot. The plan is to incorporate all of the Hasbro franchises and properties such as ROM, Micronauts, Mask, Visionaries, you know, all those things that most people listening to the show have never heard of. They're going to incorporate all of those into a single universe. You know, more power to them. I think Mask actually has some potential. Voltron is getting a third season on Netflix. Comedy Central is going to be debuting a new late night TV show, a late night news show starring the president.
Wow, he's doing a show?
Yeah.
Too? And around the country?
Everything he does is a show. Apple is working on a premium television bundle, including HBO, Showtime, and Stars. Not a lot of details on that yet, but keep your ear to the ground. Jessica Jones season 2 is beginning to shoot very soon. Apparently that will be, people were wondering whether we're going to get that or Daredevil season 3 or Luke Cage season 2. Nope, Jessica Jones is going to be the next returning show. Speaking of which, The Defenders now has a quick promo teaser and will be coming this August. Lego Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures will be getting a second season. So will Falling Water on USA, which I've still yet to watch. But I've heard I need to. The day after we recorded our Random Chatter 14th annual quarterly spring movie draft, it's been announced that Leap has been pushed back to Labor Day. We almost made it. The day after we record, they bumped something. So sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris,
it's
is
always
it
me?
Oh, Chris, sorry.
It's always Chris.
I don't even remember what that one was, so must not be too important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least you voted for that and not Guardians of the Galaxy, because if you'd gotten that, that inevitably would have been pushed back and then we'd all be upset.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Upcoming releases, if you've got Mass Effect Andromeda, there's a patch coming this Thursday, and amongst many things it's going to fix the rather quirky-looking animations and eye movements.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that's great. Thrawn is coming specifically to hardcover on April 11th and audiobook.
Already pre-ordered it.
Yep. I imagine that's what Lou and I are going to be doing on the plane.
Yes, I will be.
Yep. Mystery Science Theater 3000 is coming. I actually don't have that in the show notes here, but I just remembered that. I think it's coming April 15th. So that'll also be while we are at Celebration. What else? Guardians of the Galaxy Episode 1 from Telltale Games, the people who made the Walking Dead games and Minecraft Story Mode, etc. That's going to be debuting April 18th. And you guys know who Daniel Suarez is?
Yes.
No.
Okay, Chris. He is an author. He wrote a book called Daemon, as in a computer daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, meaning disk access monitor. It's an abbreviation. Mm-hmm. But anyway, wrote a popular book called Daemon, and then the follow-up, Freedom TM. He's written some other really good books since then. He is an amazing author. He has a new book coming out April 18th called Change Agents.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to pre-order that too.
Yep, you better pre-order that too. And it's Jeff Gerner, I think, is the narrator.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, he's
the same
a good
guy
narrator.
Who's done the others. Yeah.
Yep.
So, so for those of you who are unable to attend Celebration, at least there's some other good stuff over the next week or two to look forward to. So, let's look at some of this stuff in more detail. I want to talk about It a little bit. Now, It is, I think that's probably one of the first, I think that was the first Stephen King novel I ever read. I want to say I was probably in ninth grade. And it's freaking huge. It's not as long as The Stand, but I want to say it's 900 and something pages.
Yeah, just it's a pretty thick book. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, if your hand-eye coordination is good enough, you could kill somebody with this book. So, have you guys read it?
No,
I have not. And I'm a big Stephen King fan. I know,
right?
I never read It.
Lou, this is like his pinnacle book.
I know. I know. It's funny. You know, I've never read It, and I've never read The Stand.
Oh wow!
I know. I know. It's kind of
and you
weird.
Love post-apocalyptic stuff.
Yeah, I know. I've got to read The Stand. I know.
All right. So let me say this. The Stand, there are some, what's the word for it? Kingisms in it that, you know, I could live without. I can take it, you know, either way. It's fine. But the first portion of the book where he's describing the collapse of civilization, I found fascinating. I mean, since then, we've got a lot of different post-apocalyptic television shows and books and stuff. So it's not the only game out there anymore as right. It used to be. But I would say it's worth reading. I am no longer a Stephen King fan. I've kind of given up on Stephen King. I find him too verbose, doesn't get to the point, doesn't have a point in some cases.
I mean he's definitely very verbose. Stories. Yeah, I mean, anything I've read from him, well, you know, I take it back. Some of his stuff is fairly concise, as you would say, but mm-hmm. his concise is like a regular novel.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm looking online now at Audible, and it is 44 hours and 53 minutes long.
Wow!
Like, wow. Yeah, that is a long book.
Just for reference, for those who don't listen to audiobooks very often, an unabridged audiobook on average is about 12 to 14 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So Lou, while you're looking there, find out how long The Stand is.
Okay, yeah.
The re-released version is longer than the original version. But yeah, they're both pretty long. But I have to say this.
Unabridged, The Stand is 47 hours and 52 minutes long.
Okay. Oh. Yep, that sounds about right.
48 hours, basically.
Yeah. So they're good books, though. I mean, I like Stephen King as a short story author. And there are some books that I still think are classics. I think Misery is really good.
Yeah, I love Misery. Misery is an awesome book.
But then immediately after Misery came out, came Tommyknockers. And
yeah, I never finished that. I started it a couple times and never, yeah.
We had the entire town, like he had to elaborate on what each person in the town was doing. I still remember to this day which G.I. Joe figure the little kid was playing with. There was one character who, like, I think he went into, like, what times of the day he would go and use the bathroom. Like, it's just, let's move the story along a little bit, you know? But
you know, if you want to get your money's worth out of your Audible credit, you know, his books are good to have for that.
Well, yeah. Getting your money's worth. Of the two, I would have to say I preferred Stand. I think the world building was a little better. And it was a little more, I don't get into the whole supernatural stuff that much, but it was still
well,
good.
You know, now the question is, though, for me, do I want to read this book before the movie comes out?
Not knowing much about the movie, I would say yes.
Because I'm usually the kind of guy that wants to read the book first.
Then you should read the book first.
Okay.
I don't think after you watch the movie, it's going to make you want to go back and read the book. And the problem with Stephen King stuff is a lot of times now recently the movie and television adaptations have gotten way, way better, but I don't think you're going to want to go back and read it after seeing the film. I think you need to read the book.
Okay. I'm planning on, I just want to get your opinion anyways, but cause like the last video experience I had on a Stephen King thing was Under the Dome. And okay. That was like a completely different story than we got in the book. like really bizarre. Use the same characters' names, but the characters had different roles. So you know you're watching going, okay, yeah, that was, I can't remember the names of, oh, that was Bobby Sue, and yeah, she was the one that died. She didn't do that, and no, the other character did that. I was like, wow. It was just confusing trying to put the two together, but
I don't think this is going to be like that. I think that, well, we'll talk about the movie in a minute. I would say to read the book first.
Okay.
Look at it this way. There are going to be two movies. The book is, it covers two different time periods. One when the main characters are children, and another time period where the main characters are grown up. And I think at different points in the book, it goes back and forth, not like constantly, not like every other chapter or something, but it does move back and forth a little bit. Now the first film is just covering the kids. And then the other film will just cover the adults. So I really think for that reason, you should read the book first. And then additionally, just think about the time involved. How many hours did you say it was? 43 for it? 44?
Yeah, it was 44.
Okay. It's going to be 2 hours for the film. And another right. 2 hours for the second film. So you're looking at 1/10 of the amount of content, time-wise.
Okay, wait. It's going to be two movies?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And I said, this first one is just going to cover the characters as children, whereas the book, it kind of intersperses the two a little bit. I think you're going to find you will probably enjoy the movie better if you read the book first.
Okay.
That's just speculation.
Okay. Now, you know, in looking at because the trailer didn't give me any idea it was a two-movie thing. That's okay. I'll come to terms with that, I guess. But
why does that bother you?
I don't know. I just didn't think it would be two movies. It just seems, you know.
That's what
know.
I've been told. I could be wrong, but yeah.
Maybe. I believe
it
you.
Is two saying. Movies.
Yeah, is okay. It? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you guys watched the trailer?
Yes.
Yes.
Was it just me, or were the special effects of that little boat moving through the water?
I thought that was the dumbest thing ever.
I know. I'm like, wait, this doesn't even look close to being realistic.
Oh, I didn't even...
The little paper boat puts in the storm drain, it floats away.
Yeah.
I'm watching it move, and it's like it's zipping along the... I'm like, no, it doesn't even look like it's moving realistically.
Here's...
If you're trying to sell this movie with special effects in the trailer, I mean, that's not even a big special effect thing.
But here's the thing. First of all, it's not really a special effects movie. So
I know. They should have a budget for at least that one little boat. I mean, not like they blew it all on the big stuff in the movie. There's no special effects.
Trailers don't always have finished special effects in them.
But then don't show me something that looks
Have
bad.
You ever put a paper boat in the side of a sidewalk on a road and then watched it go down a block and a half to a storm drain?
No, I haven't.
Right. Neither has anybody else, because it gets 3 feet and it stops. But in order to make this story work, it has to get to the storm drain, and it's got to be a little bit away from the house. So you have to take a little bit of...
No, I understand that.
Well, but so you can't actually have it happen without it being CG. And if it's CG, it's going to be obvious it's CG.
It doesn't have to be obvious it's CG.
The physics, if they replicated the physics of it traveling down this little torrent of water correctly, then once again, it would stop after 3 feet. I think you're thinking about it too hard.
No, it's just
says the guy who's analyzed the physics of it.
When something is like glaringly obvious,
mm-hmm.
it takes me out of it. It's like, no, I can't. You know, listen, I can forgive a lot. I mean, I like the prequels, so you know.
Listen, that whole thing takes place in the first few minutes of the film. It let it go.
I understand. I'm just
let
saying.
It go.
If I'm trying to showcase my movie in a trailer and want it to look good and make sure people go see it, I'm going to put my best work forward.
Did you watch the miniseries?
No, I did not. I have no experience with it at all.
Okay. So first, don't. But the people who watched the 1990s miniseries right now are rolling their eyes at you so hard that we're probably going to get medical bills. Because of all the problems that miniseries had, they would have prayed for the only issue to just be the fact that the little paper boat at the beginning didn't look realistic. Like, that would be a godsend to this series, okay? All due respect to Tim Curry, who's a great actor, and seemed like a perfect fit for Pennywise the Clown. He was not. There's a YouTube video online that does kind of a parallel back and forth between the shots from the trailer that we saw today and shots from the 1990s TV series. It was a 2-episode miniseries and does side-by-side comparisons. I encourage mm-hmm. you to go watch it. I haven't even watched it yet, but just remembering back, I encourage you to go watch it, because night and day difference. The 1990s miniseries was like creepy, like weird, and this is frightening. This is what it's supposed to be.
The trailer did make me a little bit on edge. I mean, mm-hmm. it looks good as far as the scare factor goes.
Yeah. And so I'm not big into horror movies because the scare factor, quote unquote, often is what my son calls jump scares. And it's very shallow, or it's what we refer to as torture porn or things like that. I can say that the story behind this is adequately psychological, has some adequate depth to it, that what you're seeing in the trailer combined with the nature of what's going on with the story should make for a compelling movie.
Okay, good.
So I would actually encourage you, especially you, Lou, since you are kind of a Stephen King fan to some extent, I would encourage you to pick up the audiobook and give it a try.
I think I will.
After you're done with Thrawn.
And Change Agent.
And Change Agent, yeah.
Yes, I will.
Chris, you said you have no experience with it either?
I have zero experience when it comes to it, except for a fun story from my childhood. If you would like for me to tell it.
Yeah, this sounds interesting because you have no experience except this. That could be weird.
I don't think it's a fun story, but okay.
It's not a fun story. I actually, it's fun for me, but not fun for the other person involved. So when I was younger, and I'm talking like maybe 10-ish.
So like 2 years ago. 3 years?
I was going to go there, but I didn't.
I'm giving you a glare right about now.
I know, I can hear it through the internet.
So I was about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my stepbrother at the time was a year younger than me, but he was really, really into horror movies. And
as most 9-year-olds are. Good parenting there, by the way.
Yeah. He was like a big horror fanatic. He watched It and I don't even know, just a bunch of other really scary stuff. Like that was his thing. So one night we're in our room and we had a bunk bed. And I was on the top bunk and he was on the bottom bunk and we were just talking about something. And somehow we got on the subject of horror movies and we started talking about It. And he said he was scared of it. And not like scared of the miniseries. And even though he watched it. So I'm like, really? Well, then I lean over the bed and he just starts screaming. Like, pretty much having a panic attack type thing. I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, your face, it's the clown. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, it, the clown. And then he just started crying and screaming. And I had to like go get my mom and his dad because he would not, like, he was legit having a panic attack because he looked at my face and saw it, the clown.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, like they had to calm him down for like a good 20-30 minutes before he would go back to sleep. And then when he looked at my face again, it was fine. But
wow. So you need to go to Google Images and do a search real quick for Pennywise the Clown.
Yeah, and see what my face looks like apparently.
Yeah, have you not, like, do you not know what it looks like Tim Curry?
Oh, I know what he looks like.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, I've seen your face before, and while you are a bit of a clown, like, I don't see quite that extent.
Yeah.
Like, the little razor-sharp pointy teeth, and wow.
It was a very strange experience.
I might have to start calling you Pennywise now.
That's my nickname, apparently.
Penny, for short.
That'll be his nickname at a celebration.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, Dad. Oh, that was out loud, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
Oh.
And I can hear more eye rolling and glaring. This is awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. We had a conversation before the show about ages and the fact. So, Lou, if it's any consolation, I also am old enough that I could be Chris's dad as well. So it's not just you. Uh-oh. I think we actually lost Lou.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. So,
sulking.
I'm sorry. So, yeah, if you guys haven't seen the trailer for It, I would be curious as to what you think about it. Check it out. And if you've read the book or seen the miniseries, shoot us an email and let us know what you think.
I will say that as someone who has no experience with it, I doubt that I will see it just because I'm not a big horror fan. I would much rather prefer like something like psychological horror or psychological thriller, or like a horror movie disguised as something else, like Aliens, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. It looks good, but I probably won't see it.
Okay, the book is psychological horror. It is very much a psychological horror story. Now, if the movie holds true to the book, the movie will do really, really, really well. I mean, there's a reason mm-hmm. that it is one of the best-selling Stephen King books ever.
Yeah.
So, I think that I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that I think you'll like this book. Or that you'll like the movie.
I'll probably, if people give it enough praise and then people that I talk to say, hey, it's more, it more is about scaring your mind rather than like jumping out at you, then I would probably be more open to seeing it. Cause I'm like you, I don't like that, I don't find the stuff like that scary, and I hate being like surprised like that. So
right, being startled is different from being scared.
Right.
I want to be scared. I don't want to be startled.
Yeah, yes. I want it to be scary. I want it to be creepy. I want to feel uneasy watching the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, then I think you'll like this. Again, if it's true to the book, that is exactly what this story is. So. What else do we want to cover from the lightning round? Any of these stories pop out at you guys?
I'm glad Voltron is getting a third season, even though I've not finished the first season. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great show from what I have seen, and mm-hmm. I think it deserves it.
I'm part of the way through the second season. By the way, there's also Voltron, I think it's Voltron 84. Is now available on Netflix, and it is the people who are making the current Voltron going back to the original 1980s series and picking out their favorite episodes and re-releasing them.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's not the whole series. It's not even in order. I think the sixth or seventh episode is the one where they cover the pilot episode of the original series. But there's a little interview at the beginning with the person from the current series, whomever they may be, an executive producer or an art director or, you know, whomever. And they give a little blurb at the beginning about why this particular episode is important to them and why it's meaningful and representative of the series as a whole. And then they drop you into the series.
Hmm.
So it's pretty cool. Oh, and also on our last topic, the first Nightmare on Elm Street is also available on Netflix now.
Oh, really?
And from people who have watched it recently, I'm being told it holds up well.
I was wondering that myself because it was 80s, right? That's what came out?
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff in the 80s is really dated sometimes.
Yeah. Very much so in some cases.
Those, the hairstyles, I mean, all that stuff is going to glaringly 80s, I assume, but
yeah, but look at Stranger Things.
True.
80s hairstyles and yet you know it, Nightmare
it didn't
on Elm Street
take
though.
Over the show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was 80s thing done now though, so they were kind of toning it down, I think.
Well, that's true. It is different when you've got now representing then as opposed to just watching then.
Yeah.
But Nightmare on Elm Street, I think the concept is still so strong that I think it probably does hold up.
Yeah, well, that was one of those movies that even though it was, you know, gory, it was still scary in its own right. I mean, it's still...
Right.
You know, until you caught on to what was going on in it, it was like, wow, you know, is it real or dream or what was going on here? I remember that being a very... powerful horror movie back in the day.
Well, and it's the perfect shtick for giving you nightmares because when you're done watching the movie, you have nightmares about having nightmares.
Right.
Like, it's very meta. And especially if you watch it as a little kid, that really messes you up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you won't go to sleep. It's it's hilarious in a certain way. How crafty they were about mm-hmm. that gimmick there. But anyway, yeah. So back to Voltron. You haven't finished the first season yet?
No.
Okay. Did you watch the originals at all?
Yes. I didn't obviously like in order or anything. I just saw them, when I was a kid, like Saturday mornings or weekday mornings.
Back when Saturday mornings had cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lou, what about you?
Yeah, I watched the original series and I'm done with the first season. I have not started the second season yet.
We just saw that one episode.
That's right. Yeah, we saw the first episode, two episodes maybe? I don't know. They showed at Comic-Con last fall.
Ah, okay. Okay. I'm about maybe four episodes into it. I didn't care much for the second or third episode, I think it was. It's starting to get better now, but I've still got to go back and finish it.
Okay. Sorry, so the other story of this.
Hold on.
Yep.
Okay. There. Thank goodness the other for story, mute buttons.
There you go. The other story I'm letting you on that kind of made me curious was the whole Apple thing. I mean, they've been talking about doing a TV bundling thing for like 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
What's so different about this? I mean, is this going to happen now? Is it, you know?
Well, I mean,
they were
going to
do something
this
before the newest version of Apple TV came out, which that came out and nothing ever happened.
Well, there's something very specific about what's different about this, and that's how the networks are going to get their money. These are paid premium networks. So I think that that's a big portion of it. So what's going to happen, allegedly, is the plan is Apple is going to release an app specific to these three networks, and you subscribe, and this app will give you content from all three, kind of blended together like their current video app does. And the idea is that it will increase the market saturation for these networks, because it'll probably be a little bit less than what they would get from just a direct subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just the overall market penetration is going to be why HBO, Showtime, and probably especially Stars wants in on this. The reason that we're seeing this and not one of these more grandiose things that Apple's been talking about for so long, I think, is just because of the bargaining involved. These other networks, they don't want to let go of what they have. NBC, if I recall correctly, is owned by Comcast.
Right.
Hulu is owned jointly by NBC, Fox, and CBS? ABC? ABC. CBS, I think, is the holdout.
Yeah, CBS doesn't play with anybody. So.
Right, and they're still intent on the fact that Star Trek is going to be their big, right. big thing that's going to bring everybody to their table.
Yeah, right.
All due respect to Star Trek, it's just it's the business model that's the problem, not Star Trek.
But you know, the one thing these cable companies have to realize, at some point, they're going to push all of us to the point where we're just going to say no more. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm getting there pretty quickly. I mean, my cable bill's been going up and up and up, and I'm like, I'm looking at things the other day, and I'm like, wow, why am I paying so much money for cable?
Yeah.
And, you know, they get the introductory rate for 2 years or whatever it was, and then things change, and then rates go up, and now all of a sudden it's like, okay, I've been paying this, and I really need to change that.
Right.
Yeah.
But
our ABC channel here couldn't make a deal with, I think it's, I can't remember who it is, but they couldn't make it some kind of deal. So no one around here has ABC anymore.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of other, you know, cable networks being taken off things, but.
Right. You hear about Viacom. With DirecTV or something, but you don't hear that much about local networks.
Yes, network didn't want to go somewhere. Yeah, but I mean, having an ABC not come on there?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And the worst part is that Morgantown is so close to Pittsburgh that a lot of people, myself included, get Pittsburgh local stations. And to my knowledge, the Morgantown ABC affiliate also got hit. So it's you're really getting two different markets when you don't have this. And it's just annoying because I have shows on ABC that I want to watch, but I have Hulu, so I can watch them. But if I didn't have Hulu, I would have to go to other less than desirable means.
Right.
I wanted to watch it.
The thing is right now about cutting the cord, you're still getting pulled in so many different directions. You've got, what, $15 a month for Netflix. You've got $9 a month for Hulu. If you want to go with PlayStation View or the DirecTV subscription thing that they have that's streaming.
Yeah.
Or, what's the... Oh, not Spring. What's the...
Sling,
that's it. The one that's been out for so long now.
Mm-hmm.
You go with one of those, but then you still also have to pay separately for HBO, separately for Showtime. You're still not getting all of the channels, so then you have to like hunt down the things that you're missing. Like it's still you're still having to pay out in a bunch of different directions, and then to watch any of them. Some of the stuff is in the Hulu app. Some of the stuff is in the Netflix app. Some of the stuff is in Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff is in whatever your otherwise streaming app is.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
And that's only for shows, too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, we're kind of getting there as far as the content being available, but not in any way that's cohesive. Now, Apple came out with this TV app that they put on their Apple TV and their iPhones, as opposed to the old video app. And the idea is that it kind of will link you directly to these different services, and it helps in the sense that it's one place you can go, see the different shows you're halfway through the season for, and then select the one you want. And then it goes and opens Hulu, or it opens, right. You know, the FX Go app or something like that. But the interface for that's a little quirky. It doesn't include everything. It doesn't include Netflix, which is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And like right now, a lot of the streaming stuff, I don't watch regular TV almost at all anymore. I just watch streaming stuff. But if I drop my Comcast subscription, I can't log into Disney XD anymore and let my son watch Phineas and Ferb and Milo Murphy's Law, or if I want to watch Rebels. Because that streaming service on my Apple TV is dependent upon my Comcast subscription.
Right. Yeah.
I can't log into FX. I can't log into AMC.
Right. But then, you know, I guess the question is, do you cut back to the basic cable app and then do everything else a la carte?
I think you still
that
have
stuff
to
doesn't come with those channels.
Right.
Yeah, it depends on what's included in the basic package, I guess, right?
Right, and I think when you authenticate, it checks to see whether or not you're in a package that's inclusive.
Right, I guess the question would be, do you cut back to whatever is the minimal, you know, service level you can sustain, do what you want to do? I mean, right now, I'm kind of at the maxed out level at Comcast because I was on, you know, I was ready to cancel. They gave me this or something like that and came with all this other stuff, and then when the intro rate ran out, it jumped, and I'm like, okay, well,
yeah,
now I should probably do something about this. But
well, you have to sit down and look at the numbers too, because if you look at how many shows you watch, there's a threshold at which you pay for the core stuff that you need, and then anything beyond that, it may be cheaper for you to get the season pass through iTunes.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. You really got to look at it. It, you know, and it wouldn't, sometimes it wouldn't bother me as much that I'm paying this much for Comcast if I could watch anything I wanted to whenever I wanted to. But so many shows are still not available to watch on demand. You can't go back more than a couple episodes. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's like, wait, why am I paying all this money?
Right.
And then still have to go find other ways to get, you know, whatever show I'm trying to watch that I can't get the first episode on because it's not available, or they want you to pay for it on demand. I'm like, wait a minute, It's the current season. I just missed the episode. I forgot to record it. I'm not going to pay you for it now. It's like, come on. I'm paying you X number of dollars a month. It's making me sick. Yeah. I shouldn't have to pay another $3.99 for the show.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like there's no good solution right now.
Yeah. And the thing is, we've been talking about cord cutting for, what, 10 years now? And some people have done it very successfully. I mean, I haven't.
They've made sacrifices, though. And so the question is, what sacrifices are you willing to make?
Right.
That's what it boils down to. Speaking of streaming stuff, have you guys watched Iron Fist yet?
No. I've heard it's not very good.
You guys are like living under a rock.
I've got a lot of the stuff I'm watching.
So what? It's all crap, dude.
It's not like it's getting great reviews.
No, it's not. But I don't understand. I understand why to some extent, but I don't understand why it's getting the level of hatred that it's getting. So the first three episodes are pretty slow. And you get the same concept over and over and over. He's trying to convince people that he is who he says he is. Nobody wants to believe him. And even when someone does want to believe him, they're like, well, that's a problem because he's going to come in and take over our corporation. So we're going to tell people we don't believe him and just ignore him. So it doesn't really go anywhere. But then by the fourth episode, it seems to pick up. Now, I'm only on like the sixth episode right now, but I don't think that it's any worse than the other Marvel shows. They all took a while to ramp up. I don't think that it's any slower in the first three episodes than Luke Cage is. To me, Luke Cage felt like it took a while to ramp up, and when it did, it ramped up really well. And I get that you don't really get a good sense of the villains until probably the fourth or fifth episode. But it just seems like everybody's just bashing the hell out of it. And I'm curious.
Is it because it's so much worse than the other episodes of the other shows they've done so well with? I mean,
the first
is it a
three,
departure?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think a lot of it's they're comparing it to Daredevil. And Daredevil had problems, too. And Daredevil had kind of a slow start, too. But compared to Daredevil, this one really spins its wheels. And compared to Jessica Jones, this one really spins its wheels. And I think compared to Luke Cage, the pacing is probably pretty close. But Luke Cage, I think the characters were a little more compelling. And you kind of felt a little more invested with what was going on. And Iron Fist doesn't feel that way until, like I said, probably about four or five episodes in. Probably the fifth episode is when you start to really kind of feel connected to the characters. But even then, probably just two, maybe three characters. But I don't understand why that justifies condemning the show out of hand. So, I don't know. But if you guys haven't watched it, I guess there's not really a whole lot to talk about yet. So you guys need to watch it so that I can pick your brains to see what the problem is.
I have it on my list.
All right. Well, at least we're getting a show with Donald Trump as the host, so.
Oh, Lord.
So that's good. Anthony Adamuick? I have no idea how to pronounce that last name. He's starring as Donald Trump. Peter Grosz will play his sidekick, Vice President Mike Pence. And more so than whether this show is going to be interesting or not, what I want to know is how soon the lawsuits are going to happen and how far the lawsuits are going to get.
They're probably already in the making.
Probably. I mean, it's satire. It's clearly satire. So the lawsuits aren't going to get anywhere, but that doesn't mean they're not going to get filed. And I'm sure Comedy Central is looking at this like, please sue us. Please. Please. It's going to be worth the. What we're going to do is we're going to take the promotional budget and just hand that over to the legal department. Because, you know, if Donald Trump sues them, this is going to be the best marketing they could ever hope for.
Right.
I don't know. I'm really interested in seeing where this one goes. Have you guys played Mass Effect Andromeda?
No.
Yes.
Yes. We finally got a yes. I feel like this is the show where everybody just tells Eric, no, 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 no.
No, Eric. No, Eric.
What do you think of it?
I like it.
How far along are you?
Not very. Okay. I played a little bit when I first got it. I'm through the first planet. And, you know, just getting used to the game mechanics and getting used to what's going on. But I'm really enjoying the, you know, the gameplay. I'm enjoying the, you know, the aspects of the story that I've got so far. It's slow. It's just starting out. But, I mean, I'm enjoying it.
Cool. Cool. I'm maybe a little bit farther than you. Not by much. But I agree. I'm enjoying it a lot. I understand the complaints about the facial animations and all that, but maybe I'm just old. But I remember games where you didn't have facial animations at all.
Right.
Like if you had a high-res photo of the character, you were happy. So I get it. It's 2017. People's expectations are higher and they expect photorealistic animations and cutscenes and all that, but the sheer quantity of interactions in this game, I imagine, kind of make that difficult. And they are patching it, so that's good. And it's coming soon. It's coming Thursday, which, you know, 2 weeks after launch is not the end of the world. But I think that the game itself is compelling enough, and the story in the game is compelling enough that I have no problem overlooking the quirky animations and the eye of movements not tracking the characters properly and all that kind of nonsense. It just doesn't seem like that big a deal to me.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I haven't been really bothered by it, so.
Yeah. Chris, you've seen some movies recently, I've been told.
Yes, two movies, actually, that are relevant to... One's relevant to you guys, and one's more relevant to me.
Okay.
So the first one I want to talk about is Power Rangers. Definitely the more exciting one.
Really?
As someone who, yes, no competition. As someone who was growing up, was a big Power Rangers fan. And like you guys would not understand the level of fandom that I had towards Power Rangers. I would have every toy, including the Megazords, which were at the time pretty expensive. So I would hate to know how much money my mom would pay for those toys. I had all of the other, like, I had some figures. I had all the Morphers. I had all of the stuff. And this continued for, like, the first, let's see, first, second, third, fourth, like, the first six Power Rangers series that were out. So... It was a pretty lengthy time that this was occurring. I also, I would actually get up at 7 o'clock on Saturday mornings with no alarm just to watch Power Rangers, something that I cannot do nowadays. I can barely get up at 9 o'clock on a weekend.
Yeah, I can relate.
So yeah, I'm a pretty big Power Rangers fan. Went into this movie with zero expectations just because I didn't want to have any expectations. And I really enjoyed myself. It's far less kiddie than the TV series are. So it's directed more towards, I'd say, the teenage, young adult audience. But it has some stuff in there that is probably geared more towards the adult fans as well. That being said, I can definitely recommend it for a family. There's not too, I mean, there's obviously fighting, but it's not overly violent. In fact, I'd say the worst part of it for maybe younger kids is language. But it's nothing like beyond PG-13 in that area. So, in regards to that, I would definitely recommend it. And for people that are fans of the series, I would say definitely see it because, it pays homage to the original really well. And it's not too dark. I know a lot of people were really worried about that. And this is something that it does not suffer from. So all in all, if you want to see a good movie and you're not really picky about what you're seeing, go see Power Rangers because it's pretty good.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, the other movie that I saw was
Chips. Yay.
Oh, God.
No.
California Highway Patrol.
No. So I know when the trailer first came out for this, I was like, hey, that sounds pretty funny. And literally all of the funny parts that I can like recall as like actually laughing at were in the trailer. So when I saw them in the movie, I didn't laugh because I'd already had seen it before. And all of the other quote unquote funny parts that were supposed to be in this movie were just dumb. Like, I know all three of us can probably think of some really dumb comedies. They come out, like, practically every month, it seems like. But this was just so bad that I don't even know where to begin. In fact, I can't even probably talk about some of the jokes. I say jokes with serious, like, I'm very weary about calling them jokes. Because we're a family podcast, and I don't want to. Say them on air, but it's, I mean, there were a couple things that I got a chuckle out of, and some of the acting wasn't bad, which is good because sometimes you get comedies that were just the acting is just horrible. But it was just not good. And I people were calling this an adaptation. It's not an adaptation at all. It's just bad. Don't waste your money. Like, don't even rent it. Like,
wow.
This is one of those movies where I would encourage piracy.
It's well, no, and we don't do that on this show. So
yeah, don't even pirate the movie is what you're saying, really.
Yes.
It's so
there,
bad.
There you go.
Even pirate it.
It was
there you go.
So bad.
It's really that unwatchable?
Like,
I mean, listen, I joke. I didn't have high expectations of it, but
I wouldn't say it's unwatchable, but it is, like, you can do a dumb comedy movie right. I liked, for example, I like Starsky and Hutch. That was a good, I mean, I
so if it's worse than that, yeah, I don't even want to hear about it anymore.
Was it, I mean.
Wow.
And it's not just bad for not being funny, but it's also, like, some of the story was, I mean, it was the concept was okay, I guess, but the execution was bad. The editing was bad. There were times when I'm like, wait a minute, we just finished that one scene. Why are we going to this next one already? It's just not good.
Hmm.
Like, I know when this trailer came out, we were talking about it and Lou was saying, why are we talking about Chips? Why are they making this? Pointless. This does a discredit to the Chips name.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm glad I didn't go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bad.
Wow. Okay. Well, I guess that's pretty direct.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sad. Lou, have you seen anything recently? TV or movies?
No.
Anything of note?
I rented Passengers and saw that, but nothing else really recent.
All right,
What did you think of Passengers?
I enjoyed it. Wasn't quite the story I thought it was going to be when I sat down to watch it, but I think it was a pretty well-done movie. It dragged a little bit in the middle, but I would recommend it.
Sounds good.
I would concur with that. I think,
I mean, it's hard to go into detail without giving away the story, but
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't what the trailers made out to be.
Hmm.
That's the thing. I think the marketing was a little off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the middle, the pacing could have been a little bit better. I think you're right. But I thought it had heart to it, and I thought it was
it was
a good movie.
Definitely.
But didn't the trailer kind of make you wonder if it was a little more action-oriented?
Yeah. Yep, the trailer definitely made it seem that way. It made it seem like it was more about the actual, you know, mystery of what was going on, if it was a conspiracy or not, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas it wasn't that kind of movie at all.
No. No, not at all. But I didn't think it was that. I think it's another one where the critics didn't really give it a fair shake.
Yeah, I don't think they did either.
All right. Well, anything else that we want to talk about? I know this episode's kind of counting a little bit as a discussion episode for the week as well, and that's fine. You know, again, we're getting ready for the Celebration Convention, so things are a little askew.
I have one more thing I'd like to talk about.
All right.
So after a year, I finally saw 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, yeah, you did. Okay.
Yes. And someone in the Slack channel that I can't remember who it was, so you got off lucky there.
Uh-oh.
Spoiled a death in there for me.
Oh,
but,
no.
Yeah, but it was still really good. I think it really makes me want to see more movies in that universe. But I know that it's not technically a sequel to Cloverfield, and people are trying to combine them together, even though the people that made it said that I think J.J. Abrams said it was like a blood relative to the original.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just connected by a few little tidbits. But I want to see more in the universe. I was very, very, very pleased with it. It doesn't beat out Cloverfield as my favorite movie, but it's definitely in the top 10.
Okay.
Maybe even top 5. I would have to sit down and crunch the numbers a little, but definitely in the top 10.
Top 10 movies of all time for you?
Yes.
Wow.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
I'm impressed.
So, okay. So
now,
let's just stop.
Now, the only way to really tell, where does it fall on your flick chart?
I don't think it's gotten onto my flick chart.
You need to fix that.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Lou, I've got a quick question for you, because I don't have the data in front of me. I didn't prep this for the show. How many Star Wars films have there been?
How many Star Wars films have there been?
Yes.
Well, there's been, what, 7, 8?
Not including the Clone Wars theatrical release. We'll count that one out for now. So 8 so far.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane is in his top 10.
I know. I'm kind of wondering about this.
So I kind of am too.
So which Star Wars movies was it better than, Chris?
I know he's going to say Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yes.
Man,
Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi. maybe.
What?
Maybe the Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Oh, boy. It's a good thing we're going to see you in a week so we can smack some sense into you.
Slap some sense into you, yeah.
It's better than Return of the Jedi, maybe better than Phantom Menace. So let's remove...
I love Phantom.
But, so you're saying Phantom Menace is better than Return of the Jedi?
Yes.
Have you watched Return of the Jedi?
Yes.
All the way through?
Yes.
In one sitting, at least.
Yes. Multiple times.
Sober.
Yeah. Yes.
And the same thing for Phantom Menace.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really drink. I've actually literally never been drunk in my life. And I think the only way I could really truly enjoy Phantom Menace would have to be drunk. So I really question like everything you just said.
If everything after Tatooine was like, if you just cut out Tatooine from Return of the Jedi, I would say it's better than The Phantom Menace.
Oh, I cut Tatooine out of everything.
Tatooine is just so boring.
Yes. There's sand and it gets everywhere.
I hate that entire act. Like
what?
Yeah, I don't like that act of Return of the Jedi. I always skip it.
Listen, I can understand that.
Yeah, but it sets up the movie.
I don't care.
I can understand it. I don't agree with it, but I can understand it. Like, I've never really thought about it before, but...
Without that, we don't get Han back.
But really, that whole sequence is just an excuse to get Han back. That's all it is.
Yeah? We don't have him without that part of the movie. Be a little tough to do the rest of the movie without Han, right?
Like, if the rest of the movie was on the same quality as what we see on Endor, and I know people mock, like, the Ewok thing, like when the speeder bike chase and when Leia meets Wicket,
but you think Ewok stuff is better than Tatooine stuff?
Yes, simply because I am so bored by Tatooine.
Yeah, Lou.
I keep waiting for
the Ewok stuff is better than the Tatooine stuff.
Oh, come on!
No, it is.
I keep waiting for Chris to refer to them as the Andorian so I can mock him like they did in Ready Player One.
Listen, Star Wars is a space fantasy. It's not sci-fi. It's space fantasy. You have to, and it's family-centric space fantasy. You have to allow for some level of things like Ewoks. And I accept that.
I don't.
And I can see where, if you want to look at it objectively, the entire, you know, this is a discussion we should have on Echo Base.
Probably, yes.
But if you look at it objectively, the whole Jabba's throne room scene and everything that happens on Tatooine is basically just a narrative excuse to get Han back into the show again.
Mm-hmm. If I had to watch a movie all the way through, a Star Wars movie all the way through, and I had to choose between The Phantom Menace and Return of the Jedi, I would watch The Phantom Menace because it, as a whole movie, I find much more enjoyment out of.
All right, you know what? We're gonna stop it there. Okay. We're gonna save the rest of this discussion for one of our meetups in celebration.
There might be a fight.
There will be a fight.
I will defend The Phantom Menace to my dying breath.
Yeah. Oh, this is
No. We gotta have you defend the fact that you think 10 Cloverfield Lane is better than half the Star Wars franchise.
Yep. And I don't. Well, I will say that I think Cloverfield, from a film perspective, is better than all but maybe two Star Wars movies.
The first Cloverfield?
Yes.
Wow. You know, there are still a lot of problems in the first Cloverfield that you can pick apart that.
Yep. There's also problems with most of the Star Wars movies.
There are. However, I kind of feel like the problems are on two very different levels of problemesquity. Yes, that is now a word. You're welcome. Okay. So we're going to put a pin in that. I hate that phrase, but we're going to do that, and we're going to resume that at Celebration, and we will record it. Don't worry. And we will bring it to
might
all of
you. Might have to video it too, depending if, you know.
Lou, what do you say?
Okay. Okay.
All right. I think we can make that work. Yeah. I don't know exactly what we're going to have as far as, I've got the ability to do two handheld microphones and one condenser stereo microphone. So I can get two of us. The quality will be really good. The third one might be a little iffy. I'll do some tests. But at the very least, we can have a one-on-one debate live in front of a crowd at Celebration.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll save that for Wednesday night. The night before the con starts.
I need to rewatch Cloverfield.
This is going to be so interesting. You need to rewatch Phantom Menace and Return of the Jedi, dude. You got some preparation to do.
Hey, I'll need just to end take up notes. Half of Return of the Jedi.
You need to make, you know, cross reference things. You got some homework, dude. Because we're going to take you to school. It is going to be messy.
I'll be waiting.
All right. There you go. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. Like I said, this is probably going to be the last one we're going to do before Celebration. We'll be returning after, let's see, the last day of Celebration is Sunday the 16th. So the 18th, we will be live again. And we will be resuming our Random Chatter shows then. So we want to hear from you guys. Unfortunately, my cohorts here didn't have a whole lot to say about Iron Fist, didn't have a whole lot to say about it. So I'd like to know what you guys have to say about either of those. Send us an email, randomchatter@randomchatter.com, and let us know what you think.
You can find us online at our social media. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The Twitter for this podcast is @randomchatter. That also doubles as the network Twitter. My Twitter is @thecurseofchris. Eric, what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K. B-L-Y-T-H-E.
And Lou?
Mine is @LouSecki. That's L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
And don't forget, you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have them nicely broken down into categories. So if you like this show, then you'll probably like something else on the network if you're not already listening to them. So check it out, randomchatter.com.
And if you don't like this show, you'll probably still like something else on the network.
Yeah. And if you don't like what I say because you disagree with my opinions, let me know.
You know, if we're going to cut the Tatooine scene out of Return of the Jedi, it's only fair that we cut the Tatooine stuff out of The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
That was easy. I like The Phantom Menace better already. Okay. Moving on.
Cut it out of, A New Hope, too. We'll just get Tatooine out of the whole saga.
Please? Yes, please.
Actually, I wouldn't mind that either because... That's one thing.
Come on.
We're saving it. We're saving it. Saving the gold.
Luke never finds his way into A New Hope.
Anyway.
Well, if you want to help us out, spread the word about the shows. Leave reviews for us on iTunes. You can do that on Stitcher as well. Tell your friends about us. If you think we're just off our rockers, tell them that too. It's entertaining to say the least, I guess. Listen live. We are going to be bringing those live shows back after Celebration. We'll be very much, tired from Celebration, but we'll be going back to our live shows. So Tuesday nights, stay tuned for more information. That'll be at randomchatter.com/live. And you can also do that on Twitch, following Random Chatter Network on Twitch TV.
All right. A quick shout out to everybody who's helped support us on patreon.com. We really appreciate the support. And I tell you what, going into Celebration, the community on Slack has been a godsend. It's great. It's we've got so much stuff planned out that has nothing to do with the actual panels or exhibits or anything like that at the convention. It's going to be a lot of fun. So even if there's a mass power outage and the whole convention hall is all but useless, we're still going to have a great time in Orlando, and we really appreciate that. And a lot of that is because of the people that we've been communicating with through Slack, though also everybody else. It's not just those people we're going to hang out with at Celebration. We're going to hang out with everybody. And anything we have planned, we have, we're open to any of you attending, any of your friends or family members you're bringing with you. So contact us, randomchatter.com. Actually, send it to celebration@randomchatter.com, and we will get you into, there's a separate Slack community we have specifically for the convention, and we'll bring you into that, and we'll coordinate some meetups and communication through that. But again, if you want to be part of that community we have for the Patreon donors long-term going forward, everyone who donates, even just $1 a month, automatically gets to be a part of that. And we highly recommend that. It's great. The community we have there, bunch of awesome people, a lot of great topics going on. So if you want more information on that, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. And that's it for this episode. The music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. And Asilius' Sentence Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. If you're traveling to Celebration, stay safe. And meet up with us there, and we'll hang out. We can't wait to meet you. If you're not going to Celebration, stay tuned, because we've got a lot of great stuff coming down the pipe. So until next time, take care.